We call the segment By the Book, brought to you by our friends at Curran Publishers. This is the Nahum Siegel Network, and each and every week they provide an interesting guest, author, somebody to join us and discuss books and the latest works that are out there and available. And this week is no exception. We get an opportunity to take a close look at the brand new Chumash Koran, Chumash with Rashi and Unkelus, that is different than any of the Chumashim you may have seen in the past. With us via telephone is Yoshua Miller. Yoshua Miller is the editor-in-chief at Koran Publishers. And the Koran Israel Chumash with Rashi and Unkelus is our focus, and I'm sure we'll have an opportunity to speak about other things as well. Yoshua Miller, welcome to the Nahum Siegel Network.
Thank you very much, Nahum.
What a pleasure to speak to you. How does one become editor-in-chief at Koran Publishers? Have you held other positions in the company? Is this a new thing for you? Tell me about the journey.
I'd like to boast about talent and other things, but it's just my father is in charge of the American company. I run the Israeli company. That's basically it, to be honest.
How long have you been in this position?
Almost 3 years.
Very nice. Well, congratulations, because we keep a close eye, as you know, on everything that Koran is doing. And it is pretty amazing watching week after week, month after month, how they are flooding the market. I don't know if it feels that way to you, but it certainly feels that way to us, flooding the market with amazing works and some great works and authors. So congratulations.
Thank you very much. And that happens in Israel, too, just to keep you posted.
Yeah, no question about it.
Yeah.
Tell me about the new Chumash. I said it's like none other that we've ever seen before. I have it open in front of me. Describe to our audience what the goal was of the new Chumash and how, in fact, it is different from what people have seen before.
So it's interesting that you say it's never like anything seen before. There are out there in the market, there are tens, if not hundreds, of other Chumash Rashi Unkelus.
Right.
Unkelus is out there. First and foremost, before we get to this specific product, Koran in general, it starts from branding and design, because I could bring in an interesting midrash here, that the Torah was given black fire written on white fire.
Right.
And what the midrash is trying to tell us is that it's not only black fire, because fire is, it means there's essence, there's meaning, there's principled content. But not only is it black fire on paper, black fire on stone, but it's black fire and white fire. The white, the black is the content, the black is the words. And the white is the is everything that happens to the reader before the word, before he gets to the content. It's the page. It's what it looks like. And there's so much interaction between a reader and between the book he's looking at before he even starts reading the first word. And what we try to, what we strive to do at Koran with all of our products is that the reader will be in awe. In awe of the Torah, or in awe of if it's tefillah, in awe of the fact that he's standing before God. Even before you start reading the words, that's what we're trying to achieve. So with this product too, with Rashi and Unkelus, we're trying to bring the reader who's standing in shul or standing in class and has the Chumash in his hands, and he's going to open it up, and he's going to go, wow, even before he starts reading. I'd like to believe we achieved that. A small story. At the end of Bereshit, there's a small perush it's more of a translation of Yaakov's last words to his sons, because then even for the Israeli reader, those words are enigmatic. And so I gave it to a couple of my secular friends, not religious at all, and I asked them before we published this, I asked them, please look it through and tell me if it actually helps you read the last words of Yaakov. And they came back and said, yeah, this is great. And as a present, I gave them the book. When it came out, Bereshit, the first one. This was a year and a half ago in Israel. And this guy came and said, so thank you very much. He took it home, and he's been living with his girlfriend for the past 5 years. He comes back to me 2 days later and said, listen, I showed it to my girlfriend. She said, wow, we have to start reading this book straight away. It's so amazing. I've never seen anything that looks like it. It's so beautiful. And I think that's the main goal, to make people in awe of the Torah even before you start reading the words.
Why does this format work? Why, what you've created, how does it do that? I mean, there are a lot of, like I said, a lot of different chumashim. Why is this one able to bring people in the way you just described?
Okay, so I really think that where genius starts is when people look at something and think, well, you know, what other way is there to do it? And to get to that stage, in fact, took us quite a while. Because do you have the chumash in front of you?
I certainly do.
So if you open it up on any given page, it seems that the layout is pretty straightforward.
Right.
I actually have to tell you that's the 27th draft. 27. And we went through 26 very different ones of where to put the Torah, where to put the Rashi, where to put the Unculus, and where do the eyes lead one to, and what exactly is the hierarchy in the page, and what do we want people to automatically look at first after the Torah, but what do we on in the same page want to give a chronological difference in terms of the Torah coming first, then Unculus, then Rashi. There's everything taken into account, and after 26 tries, we got to the 27th one, which is in front of you, and it looks like quite obvious, but it really isn't. We're playing on a number of different things. One is the different fonts that all of them designed by Eliyahu Koren, the founder of the company.
Right.
We're also playing on the different sizes of the fonts, and we're also making sure that the page is so simple and so clean that you don't need, you may notice that we didn't write Unculus over the Unculus, we didn't write Rashi over the Rashi like other people do, because with us, it's so simple and clear. There's no need to.
Well, there's one thing that's striking to me when you open up the brand new Chumash, or new, of course, for our audience, and that is that you insisted, it seems, that the right side of the page only have chumash. That they're, oh, that's not true. That's not true. I just found that my theory was totally wrong. Because I just, yeah. But with rare exception, it seems the right side of the page only has chumash.
And I'll refine that. We always want the chumash on the right-hand side to open with chumash, and then Rashi right underneath that when there's Rashi. What you might see in other chumashim is to get them all stuffed on the same page, you have to make the Torah, you have to knock the Torah one way. This is kind of hard to explain on the radio, but you have to knock the Torah one way and stick an Unculus and then put Rashi underneath, and,
right.
And you have to bend the Torah. And we're not really willing to do that to the Torah. We want to make it clear on the page. Once again, because we're not standing next to the reader who has holding the chumash, and this is something that he has to get without any explanation. Just by looking at the page, the Torah has its own place on the page. Always, this is the word of God, and Unculus came later, and Rashi came later, and you can add them on later. But the Torah has to have its set place.
Right, and sure enough,
that's the idea.
And the majority of the time, it's all you're going to find on the right side of the page.
Yeah.
Unculus. I mean, is there anything different about it? Is the font discussion a long discussion when it comes to Unculus as well?
There's two topics to discuss about Unculus. One is about the Nusach. The Nusach, the specific edition of Unculus that we used, well, if you're looking at what's out there, all Chumashim in circulation, just take any Nusach of Unculus, any edition of Unculus, and just stick it into the Chumash, because most people that use Unculus just read it for Shnai Mikra V'Chat Targum when it's used.
Right.
Just read Unculus, read through it, and that's it. And when we approached this issue, we consulted the experts. And the experts in this case are the Yemenites, because the Yemenites still use Unculus in Shul today, in the Torah reading. It works like this, just the same way that Ashkenaz and Sfaradim in Shul read the Torah.
Yeah.
In the Yemenite shuls, they read the Torah, and you have a kid, usually 7 or 8 years old, who's standing next to the guy reading the Torah, holding the Unculus, and he reads pasuk. He reads the Unculus afterwards, and if he makes a mistake, the whole congregation pounces on that 6 year old and says, "No, it's not. It's not Amma Dishailu. It's Amma Dishaila," And everyone pounds on, that's how the kids know unkos almost off by heart. But the Yemenites always use unkos, and they know the mistakes. And no Yemenite would ever touch any chumash which is not Yemenite chumash, because they know that the unkos is full of mistakes. So we turned to the Machon Shtile Zitim, which is a very well-established Yemenite institution, and we said, listen, we'd like to use your unkos for our edition. And they were more than thrilled. That's one thing which is special about unkos, which means it's actually a correct edition of it. The other thing, apart from the fact that we punctuated it, the other thing is about the font, that Koren himself, Eliyahu Koren, would not use the Tanakh font. He created the Tanakh font only for the Tanakh.
Wow.
Created it to serve that purpose. And he was not willing to do it for anything else. And so that's why, if you notice, you could take a look at the Aleph in Unkelus. Look at the Aleph in Unkelus.
Yeah, I see.
Anyone who's holding the Chumash, look at the Aleph in the Torah.
Yeah.
It's not the same Aleph.
Right.
It's the same family of fonts, but he used a different font for the Siddur, for Unkelus, and of course for Rashi.
What are the shaded words in Unkelus that I'm looking at?
I'll let you take a guess. What do you think?
It's not the beginning of the Pasuk, right? No, it's
no
not,
way.
Not the beginning of the Pasuk. I don't know. In this one, it seems like they all have the same root. No, but this one, I guess not. Mm-hmm. What is the shape?
If you look at the Torah and you read through the Torah, if you read one pasuk in the Torah and you read one pasuk in Unkelus, this is once again, because we're putting Unkelus, it has to be
an extra
the best
word?
Edition of Unkelus, and it has to be something that people will read. And we think most of the time, most people don't really look at Unkelus, especially not in shul when they're reading the Torah. And we wanted to put, if Unkelus is on the page, we wanted to put something in there that would draw attention. And one thing we know that's unique about Unkelus is he doesn't just translate. He adds his own commentary in the translation.
Right, so words that are not directly from the Torah, for instance.
Exactly.
Right.
So either words that are not in the Torah and he adds, or words that he doesn't translate, but he really gives a completely different word.
Right.
So we shade it in gray. And one of the extreme examples is Unkelus does not let people stand or see Hashem. It's always Kadam Hashem. Or you can't see Hashem, it's Dmut Yikara de Hashem. It's
right.
Always, you can see the glory of Hashem, or before Hashem. So that's consistent. But we shaded that because we wanted to portray Unkelus as not only a translation, but also a commentary.
Understood. Yehoshua Miller is with us, editor-in-chief at Koren Publishers, Jerusalem. The brand new Chumash is our focus, the Koren Israel Chumash with Rashi and Unkelus. Was it a great debate to include Rashi's script, or there's no choice but to include Rashi's script and not change?
I mean, as opposed to using the normal Koren font.
Yeah, there are those that might desire to change Rashi's font and make it easier on the reader, make it easier on those who are studying the Chumash.
Yeah.
Was that ever a discussion where you are?
Most definitely.
It was.
Tell the truth. It was definitely a discussion. To tell the truth, this whole edition started from the Rashi font, not even the Rashi Nusach, from the Rashi font. Eliyahu Koren passed away about 15 years ago. And I think it was about 10 years ago that we were looking through one of the last boxes we got, because we moved our warehouse. And one of the boxes there was full of letters. And we're taking out the letters. And we noticed that we see the normal Koren font letters with typics on, with Eliyahu Koren's original refinements there. And then we see Rashi letters, a whole set of Rashi letters. And one of the questions that was always around in the company was, why don't we have a Chumash Rashi Unkelus? I mean, everyone loves the other Koren, Sidurim, Tanachim, Chumashim. Why don't we have a Chumash Rashi Unkelus?
Mm-hmm.
Turns out Eliyahu Koren didn't like the font. And if he felt, and if he didn't think that the product wowed the reader, so he didn't go ahead with it. So we're looking through, and we noticed that there's three different sets of Rashi fonts that Eliyahu Koren designed, but never had the chance to create the book. So we took all the letters and we sat down and we went through them. We chose the letters and the letters that the set of the three sets we chose. The set of letters that we hoped was the closest to what Eliyahu Korda had in mind, because we didn't know. And there was no one to help us. I mean, his kids didn't know anything about it. And that's how the whole thing started. So if you notice, this is also something interesting. This is Eliyahu Koren, just the same way that for each letter in the Tanakh font, he created a different dagesh for each letter, because the space in the middle of the dalet isn't like the space in the middle of the yud or the hay.
Right.
So the same way, he created four different tufs and four different chets and four different alephs. Because going back to the manuscript, the way people would write, they wouldn't just give over the information. The old manuscripts, I'm talking about 13th century, 14th century, of Rashi, and in general, of other people's manuscripts in Hebrew, they're beautiful. The nuns go underneath the yuds, and the mems go over the line. It's a word of calligraphy, not only content. It's a piece of art. And because of the different ways that people had to work with print, it means that you have an aleph and you have a yud, and you can't connect between the aleph and yud. You can't make one block for them together. You can only bring a letter as far as the block of print would go, and you can't have the letters dance together. Because of different things like that, the designers of the Rashi font had to make it, well, pretty much uglier, to put it that way. They couldn't have the letters dance. And the Eliyahu Koren didn't like that. So he created different letters. For each letter, he created different versions so the letters could dance together. And you could write them. And if you look at the Rashi, even now, what we try to do is to make sure that the lamed could go under, the long lamed could go under an aleph, and the nun, which is also like in the manuscripts, the nun can also go under the small letters, and the whole design is given to that that flexibility that is needed.
Wasn't there a book that we once analyzed and discussed? Not you and I, meaning in this segment, specifically on the calligraphy, on the way that Koren went ahead and drew the letters, drew the fonts. Am I right or wrong? Wasn't there a...
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. That was the Tanakh. That was 20 years of creation, of just the font. 20 years of working on the font.
And there was a book just about the font, right?
Mastering Hebrew Calligraphy.
That's it. That's what I'm thinking of, right? That's what I'm thinking of. And that was... Say it again?
That's Izzy's book, Izzy Podlaski.
Right. I remember we discussed that. Yehoshua Miller is with us, editor-in-chief at Koren Publishers, talking about the Koren Israel Chumash with Rashi and Unkelus. Was there a great debate about whether to put a haftarah after a parasha or put all the haftarot together toward the end of each volume of Chumash?
There was debate. I wouldn't call it great, because we had two different audiences in mind. One was the shul audience and one was the school audience.
Right.
The haftarot is, of course, for the shul audience, not for the school audience.
Right.
But because we had the shul audience, which would be the primary, the major audience, and then the school would be the secondary, we wanted to make sure that the shuls have it that at the end of every single parsha. And once again, because the shul audience is the primary audience, so that's the other reason that we brought before each haftarah. We have a small introduction of just so the reader knows in general what's going on, because we did a survey before we created this. Most people, you ask them 10 minutes after the shul, after laning, you say, well, what happened in the parsha? He's going to say, like, the last parsha was Vayikra, so we talked about Olah and Shlamim and different things. And if you ask them what happened in the Haftarah, like, this is 10 minutes afterwards, most people just blank out.
Right, of course.
So we decided to have a small introduction to each Haftarah, saying, like, who is Amos, what is he talking about, and what era are we in? So that once again, is directed to shuls.
Yeah, understood. I like the fact that at the beginning of each parsha, there's a timeline, gives you an approximation of how many years the parsha took, so to speak, or the narrative of the parsha took. It talks about the highlights, if you will, of each perek, and the geography tells you where it took place. I'm looking at Vayetze, so that gives us that's a good example of the different events, the geography and the timeline that it took in order for all these events to take place. And if you go to any one of these, any of the parshios in the Torah, in the Chumash, you'll have the same thing. Are you able to keep that up in Svarim like Vayikra?
So the idea is, before someone delves into a parsha, is to give him a general idea of what's going to happen. If he's going to scan within a few minutes of the Torah reading and show, if he's going to scan 20 years or 1,000 years,
right,
or 1 week or 1 day. And in Vayikra, we couldn't do that. But we did want to give the reader an overview of exactly what in general he's going to talk about. To tell the truth once again, I'd like to be honest, I was thinking of my wife when we created that. Because often she doesn't get a chance to go to shul. She'd like to, and sometimes I come back from shul, and I tried to daven Vatikin on Shabbatot, so I come back at about 8:30, and she says, "Well, what happened in the parsha?"
Right.
And so I go into depth. Okay, well, this happened and that happened, and she's like, "Okay, fine. Well, like, you know, let's just sit down and do kiddush already." But the idea is that someone who doesn't have the chance to, or either is about to hear the leading, or doesn't have the chance to go to shul for whatever reason, can take a look at the parsha, and within 30, 40 seconds, he knows exactly what's going to happen. That's one thing. The other thing is, if you notice, if you're looking at Vayetze, you'll see that there's a Kaf Vav, Kaf Zayin, Kaf Chet, Kaf Tet at the top.
Correct.
Those are not the Christian Prakim, which are in widespread use in the Jewish community.
Yeah, I figured not, because when I saw Tazria, there's only two Prakim, so I figured it must not be the ones we're used to.
Exactly. Those are the original Jewish Prakim. Those are the Babylonian. These are the Israelite. That's 2,000 year old. That's the original chapters used by the Jewish community in Israel. And this is not the 700 year old Christian chapter division that's in widespread use, that most people use, that's in all Chumashim, because once again we like to go to the most authentic source, and here not only do we use the original Sedarim, it's called the original Jewish division, we also give it content. We also try to delve into what the Hebrew division, what exactly it had in mind, why it's split up that way.
Well, and then in the actual Chumash, you do go with what we've become known, with what has become known to us as the traditional Prakim.
The tradition. You're talking about the Christian one.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's a widespread use. You can't.
Right, you can't avoid it.
Gemarot and Rambam and anyone else always they refer to that division.
And what's the parentheses when it's Parsha Shmini and it says Dalid in reference to the Jewish tradition? Why is there a bet afterwards in parentheses?
Come again?
It says Perek Dalid in Parsha Shmini, Nosim Lefis Darim, right? And it talks about what's in Perek Dalid of the Jewish Perek Dalid, right, for Parsha Shmini. Then right after Dalid, it has a bet in parentheses.
Okay. So there are two, I'm sorry I have to go into detail here, but there are three ancient Jewish divisions of the Bible and one Christian one. And the Christian one is in widespread use. But the three ancient Jewish divisions, one is Halacha Moshe Sinai, one is from the time of the giving of the Torah. And the two are 2,000 year old, one is Babylonian and one is from Eretz Israel. The ancient division from the time of the Torah, that's the Ptuchot and Stumot that you have throughout the Torah.
You have
like a paragraph sort of.
Right, we're used to those.
The ancient Babylon, come again?
Yeah, we're used to those. We know what those are, right?
Exactly. The ancient Babylonian minhag, which is 2,000 years old, I mean, this is even before, this is from the Babylonian communities, before the destruction of the Second Temple. The Babylonian communities would have the parashot that we know. That's Vayetze, that's Vayechi, Shmini, those are the parashot, that's the ancient Babylonian division. Once again, it's Jewish. The ancient Israelite division is the Sedarim, which we brought there. That's the kafchet, kafzain that you have, which isn't in sync with the Christian one.
Right.
So whenever the Babylonian one slices the Israelite, whenever the slices the Israeli one in the middle, so we bring it in parentheses. Like the Dalid you have there is a continuation from the Dalid in the past in Tzav.
Mm-hmm.
It's started Dalet, but then the Babylonian one sliced that in the middle.
Wow.
And then it carries on afterwards.
To say you...
It's a different method.
Amazing. The scholarship and academia that goes into making a Koran publisher's work is just unbelievable, and this is a perfect example, I'll tell you that much. It's pretty remarkable. It is the Koran Israel Chumash with Rashi and Unkelos. It's brand new, 5 volumes. You can check it out, and certainly I know you order, or I should say you welcome orders from synagogues and schools to take advantage and to bring it into their synagogues and schools. For their people to enjoy. Yoshua Miller is editor-in-chief of Koren Publishers, korenpub.com, korenpub.com. You could log on and get information about the Koren Israel Chumash with Rashi and Unkelos. Yoshua, thank you so much for joining us. Continued Hatzlacha. And congratulations. This work is absolutely amazing.
Thank you very much.
The brand new Koren Israel Chumash with Rashi and Unkelos. 5 volumes. Yoshua Miller is editor-in-chief, and I thank him for the time that he gave us today. The scholarship, like I say, and the academic pursuit that goes into any of these works from Koren is unbelievable. This one, as you heard, simply remarkable. Unbelievable. By the Book is a segment we bring you at the Nachum Segal Network, brought to you by Koren Publishers each and every week. 9:30 each and every Eastern Time, each and every Wednesday here at the Nachum Segal Network. Information, go to our Facebook update page, Nachum Segal Network, on Twitter at Nachum Segal Net. Koren information, korenpub.com, korenpub.com. You're listening to NSN.